Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase, and this is your host, Fred Black. And today on our showcase, we're delighted to have Flicka Bateman, who is the executive director of the Refugee Support Center. And I must say, Flicka, we're just so happy to have you. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And I have to say that I have long admired all that Flicka has done for this community. When I first came here, she was a member of the Chapel Hill Town Council. She was also working as the principal of the hospital education program. I guess we call it the hospital school. And she's always been so much involved in helping people. And this is what she's doing now in her so-called retirement. Flicka, what is the Refugee Support Center?
Well, the Refugee Support Center is a nonprofit. It was established in 2012. And in a nutshell, it's set up to help refugees with the transition to life in America and to become self-sufficient.
And the refugees are coming from?
Primarily refugees in Orange County come from Burma. There are about 1,200 in Orange County. Most of them are from Burma. We have 32 refugees from Syria, 10 adults, and the rest are children, so five families, and about the same number of refugees from DRC or Congo.
Okay. Now, how do you find out that there are refugees in town that need support?
You know, it's interesting. They find out.
Oh, they find that there's a support center.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we have ever gone out and said, hey, we have this service, come to us. You know, people tell people. We are located in an apartment complex where refugees live.
Is that the one off of 54?
Uh-huh, one of them. And so we see them that way. People want to come to citizenship class. They want to come to ESL class. They want help with filling out green card or citizenship applications, family reunification. They don't understand how to apply for food stamps, what to do if Medicaid has expired, how to make appointments for some of their health appointments, some of their dental appointments, how to understand instructions that teachers have sent home and book bags for kids.
They don't job prospects?
Many, many job prospects mm-hmm. come.
And the families are pretty close. So if somebody comes, I'm sure there's a lot of conversation about they need to go see you.
Yeah, and we also get referrals. For example, the health department.
Orange
County Health Department, the Carborough Health Clinic refers folks to us. DSS sometimes refers folks to us. Or mainly they'll call and say, we can't do this, and they've come to us. Can we send them to you?
Can you explain the sponsorship program that is at work when families leave, say, the refugee camps in Thailand, and they come to the United States? They have a sponsor.
Sometimes, yeah, I'd love to.
Because I know our church has sponsored a couple families.
Yeah, your church sponsored some back in 2007 and yeah. 2008, I think. It was wonderful.
So how does all that work?
Okay. So you become a refugee through registering with the UNHCR, which is the United Nations High Commission on Refugees. It was set up in the aftermath of World War II to deal with refugees from the Second World War. And that process is about a two-year process. If you're registered, then you go through screening. You go also through health screening. Your application is then screened if you're going to the U.S., to the Department of Homeland Security, to the Department of State. Then you then have a meeting with UNHCR officials. And UNHCR, for placement in the United States, deals with nonprofit resettlement agencies.
Okay.
We are not a nonprofit resettlement agency. And I'm sorry, they deal with resettlement agencies. We are not a resettlement agency. Resettlement agencies have contractual agreements with the Department of State. They receive funding to help refugees upon initial arrival.
I see.
And they are considered they're the sponsors. Oftentimes, they have sought co-sponsorships from churches. or from neighborhood groups or other groups mm-hmm. to assist them and assist families with that.
Because that's a pretty big endeavor. And,
it is, yeah.
And they're all over the country that they're looking for opportunities to settle.
Yeah, and the four resettlement agencies in the Triangle are Church World Service and Rural Relief in Durham, Lutheran Family Services and USCRI, the U.S. Committee on Refugees and Immigrants. Both mm-hmm. of those are
now, we were dealing with Lutheran Family Services, and I remember that the family they brought still had other family members that were still in the camp in Thailand waiting for approval to come. They eventually got here, but it wasn't a package. Is that typical?
It varies. I mean, with a large family, typically they try to bring parents and the kids. Sometimes mm-hmm. older kids don't get in.
Grandma and grandpa may come later.
They may not. It depends on whether they've been registered. They may be approved by UNHCR. Sometimes they're sent to Australia. I'm helping someone now whose husband, she was engaged but not married. She was sent here. He was sent to Australia. They went back to Thailand to get married, and they knew she's savvy. She's actually on our board now. She went back to Thailand, got married, went to the registry of deeds or their equivalent there to find out, how can I get proof of marriage? Because I know I have to do that to mm-hmm,
fill out the paperwork.
I don't know if it was intentional or not. I'm going to take the high road and say it was not. They gave her an English certification that she was divorced.
Oh, no.
She looked at it. She said, this is not correct. They said, yes, it is. Most refugees have learned the way to survive is to not be assertive.
Uh-huh.
And she just couldn't push it. Mm-hmm. Or felt like she couldn't push it. You know, I'm telling an official in a government that I need something from that what they've done is incorrect. They've said it is correct. I have to let it go. She's coming to us tomorrow. We have a pro bono attorney that helps us with some things, and we're going
to get the paperwork straight.
Well, we're going to at least see what we can do.
Gee.
This is over my head. I help with family reunification, but something this complicated, we need to refer out to an immigration attorney. Mm. But back to the resettlement agencies. Their funding to help refugees typically ends after 90 days.
90 days in the States.
Okay, they come over, Church World Service meets them at the airport, they have an apartment set up, they get them Social Security cards, take them to file for benefits, get their kids enrolled in school, get them set up and try to help them with jobs, try to help them with English class, use volunteers with that too, sometimes mm-hmm. co-sponsors. But after 90 days, the U.S. government says refugees are self-sufficient.
Well, hold that thought, and we'll come right back to continue this conversation. This is Nonprofit Showcase, WCHL 97.9, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase with our guest, Flicka Bateman, the executive director of our local Refugee Support Center. And Flicka was just talking about the 90-day rule and what happens after they arrive and then the 90-day clock starts running.
Well, when the 90-day clock is running, the resettlement agencies are very involved with them. At the end of the 90 days is when the government says, all right, time for you to take over other refugees who are arriving. The funding, sometimes the funding doesn't stop. They're
so they move on to the next.
But the resettlement agency staff moves on to the next group of mm-hmm. volunteers. Because, again, the government's assumption is a family or an individual is self-sufficient at the end of 90 days. Well, mm-hmm. I take issue with that.
We all have examples of why we're not.
And so it was from that, end of the 90-day period that I thought there is a real need here. And so started working just while I was still working full-time at UNC hospitals with some refugees and
You got the process moving.
And then decided
to. And you formed a board. You got somebody to do the 501c3 paperwork.
You followed
the traditional mm-hmm. nonprofit mm-hmm. pattern.
Actually, our board is all refugees or former refugees.
That's amazing.
My sense was that if I had people who were born in America uh-huh. on the board, they would do all the talking. And it would shut up refugees. And my goal was to hear from refugees.
And hear the direct
yes.
stories.
Yes, an example. that I would never. I think Americans would have said, go ahead, Flicka. They said, don't. We set up a revolving loan fund.
Okay.
We set up – I got a grant to help refugees pay their green card applications.
Okay.
All righty.
And what does that run typically?
Well, it's a long story. I don't know if you want me to go into it.
No, that's okay.
Right. It's more than it's over 100, 200.
Oh, okay.
Citizenship can run up to $600-something.
Okay.
But they were having to pay before I got accredited to do this immigration paperwork myself. They were having to pay another accredited representative to do the paperwork.
Okay.
I got a grant, Stroud Roses, to
who'd you get a grant from?
From Stroud Roses.
What a wonderful foundation.
They are a wonderful foundation. They have been very generous twice in accepting our applications and awarding us funding. But I wanted to pay those fees through this grant. My board said, no, make it a loan.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And we talked about it some, and they said folks need to know they have to save, that there aren't for the –
It's not a handout. It's a hand up.
Right, and that they're not going to be handouts every time they need money.
The board said that.
My refugee board said it. Mm-hmm. And so we had a compromise. I said, how about this? The grant pays for half. And they pay the other half.
Okay.
It's
so
worked
skin
wonderfully.
Skin in the game philosophy.
Worked wonderfully. Mm-hmm. Recently had another – well, anyhow, that's an example
yeah.
of what our board does.
So when the refugee gets located in our area, they have a friend, and the friend says, I need to take you to the Refugee Support Center. Do you have a assessment process that you follow to see what is needed?
Well, they typically come and know what they need.
Okay.
We have full-time interpreters there.
Okay.
And so they come and we have either someone that can speak Kinyarwanda or Swahili or French.
Where do you find the interpreters?
Korean, Burmese, and Arabic for our Syrians. Word of mouth. I mean, I've got a full-time Korean, Burmese just because – That's so much of what we do.
I wonder how many people listening to us realize that those resources are available in our community, that we have people who can do that. I hadn't given it any thought,
yeah.
but that's,
yeah.
that's
well,
pretty
some
amazing.
Well, some are UNC students.
Okay.
Some are former refugees themselves.
Okay.
So it works.
Another
Yesterday,
example of what students are doing in our community.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, our students are wonderful. We've got about 120 volunteers, and about half of them are UNC students. They're awesome.
That's awesome, right.
We couldn't make it without them.
Yeah. Do you have any other staff that's helping you other than the interpreters?
We have a volunteer coordinator. And she has a stipend, and because I couldn't do all that. Mm. And we're setting up a position for a community outreach facilitator to help with that, because we just have a lot of organizations and agencies that want to get involved or want us to come and speak or do presentations or make donations. And so,
yeah. Well, in our last segment, we'll talk about that a little bit in terms of how people can help the support center. But the other thing I was thinking about is as you are helping folks, I mean, you're dealing with a lot of telephone calls, I assume, and a lot of bureaucratic, no, you need to talk to this department. No, you've got the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get the patience to do all of this?
That's a good question. I'm not a patient person.
Do you have help that you – I mean, you know who you've dealt with before and you try to build on those relationships? Is that
yeah,
the way?
Yeah, I definitely have enough network now. I mean, someone called me from DSS this morning. She and I have worked together since 2007.
And she knows exactly what you're
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, she said – I'm the person walked in. She said, I'm calling Flicka. I'm not sure about this.
Uh-huh.
And so I said
– So you're known to those people who are providing that kind of support at the bureaucratic level. And
well,
that helps.
When you have a name like Flicka, it sticks. So I think that's to my advantage. Yeah. Plus, I think people want to help. I mean, people really want to do right by refugees, these agencies and mm-hmm. the providers. And, you know, they will try. I have had people from the ER at Duke call me because they've Googled support for refugees.
And there you are.
The Refugee
yeah.
Support Center. You know, I can't really help them, but at least to me, it's an example of how.
Do you have community meetings to discuss the things people are dealing with, to kind of share what experiences have been for some that you can help others?
What are you talking about? Community meetings of refugees?
Or yeah, where you bring people together and you talk about things of concern.
Well, we, in last May, with the health department, sponsored a health education workshop.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
I was anticipating 50 people, 50 refugees, got donations, not that I had to, but I wanted to, of $5 Food Lion gift cards to give every refugee participant who came.
Mm-hmm.
We had 125 show up.
My goodness.
And it was wonderful. We had people there from the health department to talk about how to get the most out of your health appointment. We had people there to talk about addiction, how to talk about domestic
all
violence.
Of the issues.
How to talk to your just a variety of uh-huh. Of questions.
And so that's something you run again at some point in the future, huh?
Yeah, they wanted it. In March, we had the Refugee Support Center, Health Department, Church World Service, and
Well, hold that thought again, because it's time to take another break, and we'll be right back with Nonprofit Showcase and Flicka Bateman. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase here on WCHL 97.9. And Flicka Bateman of the Refugee Support Center was telling us about all of the services they're trying to provide the refugees that come into our community. And you were going to tell us about the legal education that you were providing?
Well, we had a workshop co-sponsored with several other agencies, Church World Service, Health Department of Orange County, Carrboro Health Clinic, for immigration legal questions. This was in light of the executive orders, the travel bans.
A lot of confusion.
And
yeah.
The confusion over sending us back and not sending us back. The day after the election, for example, one of our Syrian gentlemen said to his UNC tutor who won the election, Trump, does that mean we go back? No. Refugees are legal. Refugees have an I-94. They have all the rights and privileges of citizenship except voting.
Mm-hmm.
And just to reiterate that, they still aren't sure, but we just wanted to answer questions like that.
Yeah.
And so we held a workshop, had someone there speak to the legal immigration issues, had a representative from Carrboro Police Department, Chapel Hill Police Department, the school district.
So there are a lot of cultural things to deal mm-hmm. with, too. Mm-hmm. If somebody out there listening wants to help, what can they do? How can they contact you?
They can look at our website, www.refugeesupportcenter.org. And they can look at the donate page or get involved page and see what they
want. Because it's not just money that you're talking about.
No,
you're looking
no.
for all sorts of assistance.
Correct.
They can volunteer if they're interested?
Uh-huh. If their time and our needs and what they want to do works out, sure.
So you always need somebody with language skills?
Yeah. Transportation, we need people to help drive.
And you have pretty good advocacy support with the schools?
Oh, yeah. I work for the school district, so have a wonderful relationship still with the coordinator for ESL, the assistant.
And there are social workers there that are—
Families, yep. Mm-hmm, yep.
Families, what do they call them? Family
well,
support specialists?
They were called family specialists, and now they're back to what they wanted to be called, which is what they are, which is social workers.
Okay,
so,
and that means people know what they're talking about. But, there's so many of these cases that we hear about that— Just something as simple as having somebody who can advocate for you makes all the difference in your approach to school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I suspect in the refugee camps, they weren't getting a whole lot of education. I know there were classes, but mm-hmm. it wasn't the same thing as the routine that we're going through.
I was tutoring a girl who was at East, and she was in advanced, I think pre-Cal or AP-Cal, really really sharp. Her teacher said to her, you need to get a tutor. Tell your parents to hire you a tutor. You're not getting it. She came to me in tears. I called him and talked to him and said, and she said he was very intimidating to her, she felt like. She said, not just me, but
culturally, I can understand
I think it was very intimidating for her. And, of course, all the Americans are answering and being assertive and saying that's too much homework and she can't believe how disrespectful people are to teachers. And he said, well, she needs to drop the class. And I said, well, let me talk to her. She said, I don't want to drop the class. So I called him back and said, she doesn't want to drop the class. Please give her a chance. I can't tutor her in AP Cal, but I can get you somebody. Talk to the school district. We worked out something, got her a tutor. She made a D the first semester. She made a C the second semester. She made a B the third semester. She made an A her final semester, passed the AP test, and was exempt from taking calculus in college.
Well, with that, we're going to have to stop, Flicka, and I want to just thank you so much for being with us. Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black.